All right, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Start in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And this message is entitled, Watch therefore and be ready. God's church here on earth is made up of sinners. Believers and non-believers. Those God has saved by His free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen Christ before the world was, and those He leaves to themselves in their darkness, in their unbelief. Who makes you ready when Christ comes again? Who makes you to watch in that hope, faith, being accepted of God the Father? Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until that day of Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. It's God's work. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, not of your works, it's God's work in you, the new man created in Christ Jesus. Christ is coming again. And there will be a glorious wedding. Christ and His bride, His church, His elect. And there will be a judgment. He's coming in His glory. And God will get His glory. Will you be ready? Will you be watching for Him? Looking to Christ, there is one God, there is one church of God, there is only one gospel, one God-given faith. Psalms 110:3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So who makes you ready? Who makes you a wise virgin? Psalms 4:5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither declare from the words of my mouth. God chose a people in Christ before the world was, and he sanctified them in Christ Jesus. Made your salvation sure in your surety, in your substitute, in your representative head, Jesus Christ, his Son. And God predestined you, nated you to be his adopted children in Christ, in whom he sent. And it was necessary that he sent him in the flesh to be a man and to be God. Because where there's no blood shed, there is no remission for sins. He had to be a man because God can't die. So he sent his Son, be born of a virgin, to redeem his elect, to be their kinsman redeemer. Christ came and brought in a perfect righteousness, perfect obedience to the Father's will. He put away the sins of his people, being made sin for them who knew no sin. As our substitute, he shed his own blood to wash away our sins. His sacrifice, the atonement that pleased God for the sins of his people, that we may be the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He satisfied God's holy justice in our stead, and he rules and he reigns. With his own blood for the remission of our sins, all his elect, his bride. And when it pleased God, he sent his messenger, preaching his gospel to those that he had chosen. And he called them out of their darkness, revealing that light, his own Son, who is the light. He, by the works of his Holy Spirit, quickens you, gives you spiritual life and faith to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he teaches you all things of God. For grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is God's work in you. God has made him wisdom unto us. We have the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. God has given us his divine nature, and we have the mind of Christ, teaching us how to walk in this sinful and present evil world. His Holy Spirit in us, teaching us all things of Christ, the new birth, Christ revealed in you, the hope of glory. He has made us wise virgins, holy and pure in him. He has made you acceptable to God in him. God reconciled us to himself in Jesus Christ. And he teaches us, calls us by his word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God through the foolishness of preaching. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. God has made you wise in Christ. God has begun a good work in you. And here in chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. It's hard to tell the wise from the foolish. We don't know who God's elect are. Only God does. We're all born with that same sinful nature. There's no difference. And they both, the wise and the foolish, went to meet that bridegroom. For they both took their lamps. They both professed to know the bridegroom. They both had a profession that they knew him. They knew Jesus. But only the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Who makes your lamp, your profession, ready with oil, with grace? Both profess faith in Christ. The wise had oil in their vessels, in their hearts. Grace in their hearts. God's free and sovereign grace in Christ Jesus. That pure olive oil. They said that oil was beaten. And it was pure. And it burned continually, day and night. And it pleased God to bruise his son. That light that shines day and night. His sin atoning blood shed for the remission of sins. He who knew no sin made sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. That God-given faith in Christ Jesus that endures. That faith that God gives in his Son, it endures. It's true. It's real. It's not just a profession. That grace of God who shined the light in your darkness, made all things light, made you children of light in him. This is God's good work in you. He gives you that faith. That saving faith, that heart faith, that faith that watches and looks to Christ. Watches for him, it looks to him. It works with love from him that only God can give in his Son to all those who believe on him. To believe that the works God the Father gave his Son to do, Jesus Christ accomplished them, finished the works, and he gave them to do, and successful all that was required for your salvation, he accomplished, obtained complete salvation for all those chosen of God by his electing grace. Christ is the author. He is the finisher of that faith. He's the object of that faith. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. That faith believes on him, for he is our salvation. And God sees all. He does all, and he is in all. He uses all of his creation for his glory. And all things are naked before him. He sees the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows all things visible and invisible. Christ Jesus is that light. Where there's light, things are manifest. The light that lights the way to God the Father to eternal glory. He is both the light and he is that way, the only way. The grace of God flows continually through him. He's that oil sufficient to burn day and night. And in Exodus, you can turn there if you want to. I'm going to read a couple of verses. But in Exodus 27, in verse 20, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation, without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel." That light that was beaten and shines. The light that he shines in your hearts, revealing himself to you in his Son. Here in verse 5, "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Well, some days your faith, you just feel like you've got all the faith that God could possibly give you, that you believe and you're on a mountaintop. And then there's days when there's like, how could I be saved? I don't feel that faith. Lord, help my unbelief. We're weak. Our flesh is weak. Our faith is small. He tells us that. And he knows that. He suffered. He came. He was tempted just like we are in all things, that he could be our high priest and know us. Know our temptations, know our needs, know our faults. God the Father has fixed the day that Christ will come again to gather all his elect for that wedding feast and the judgment. He will not tarry. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes, if you will. Chapter 8. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 11. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil and 100 times in his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God." The wicked will be judged. All will stand before him in judgment, the wise and the foolish. But the elect of God, who believe by that faith that he gives them, that enduring faith, that looks for Christ, that watches for him, they have nothing to fear in judgment. He's taken your sins away by his own precious blood. Christ has put away all those sins. There is now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, who walk in light. He is long-suffering towards us, and he will try our faith. The Lord gives you faith, he will test it. He will try it. It's necessary. He told us he would do it. because he will not lose one. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether be we awake or sleep, of course he's talking dead, we should live together with him. So alive or dead, we shall live with him. Like we said before, the flesh is weak and our faith is small. And sometimes we take our eyes off of him and we start looking to self. The two natures in every believer war against each other, and that flesh loves sin so easily falls, and Satan so easily gets our mind off of God, takes our eyes off of Christ, and we're powerless. We have no strength in ourselves, and everything we do is mixed with sin. I love what Brother Evan said the other day. When God gives us a little glimpse of his grace, we get so excited. And the first thing we want to do is grab a measuring stick and say, look how much we've grown. That's how vile we are. But God humbles us. Because if God has given you that faith in Christ, he will test you. He will try it. It's for your growth. Not for your salvation, you're already saved. But that evidence that you have true saving faith in Jesus Christ. Because these foolish virgins, they thought they had faith in Christ. And they rested in it. They thought everything was okay. It's a gift of God to every believer. All who are his elect. Let's look in 2 Timothy, if you will. Chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But here's that comfort. Here's who's faithful. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. What comfort. You the apple of his eye. He chose you in Christ. And even though you sleep and you slumber, just like the foolish virgin, it's his faithfulness that keeps you. He keeps you. He loves you. It's also like King Hezekiah. Sometimes God will show you exactly what is in your heart. 2 Chronicles 32:31. As God used Hezekiah during his reign, and God blessed him. God graciously blessed him. But howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire the wonder that was done in the land, God left him. God left Hezekiah to himself. He wasn't giving the glory to God. He was taking it for himself. And God left him
to try him. He didn't stop loving him. No, this is for his good. This is for your good. That he might know all that was in his heart. That King Hezekiah, God knew what was in his heart. This was so King Hezekiah would know what was in his heart. And what did he see? He saw a sinful, vile creature. And so are we. So who keeps us watching? Who keeps us ready? It's not our faith. And as David said as he was about to leave this world in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Brothers and sisters, God is faithful to his elect. He made a covenant and swore by himself, because there's no greater to swear by. And what God does, he does for eternity. He does forever. Because it's right and it's just and it's holy and it's good. There's no turning with him. There's no changing with him. There's no shadow of turning in him. He doesn't change. The faith of Christ Jesus, he is our rest. He is our hope. God gives us that faith and it looks to him. He makes us to endure. Remember all he has done for us. What Christ has done for us, his righteousness. Because when he shows us what we are and what we have not without him, he shows us what Christ has done for us. He brings back to remembrance, and we need to be reminded what Christ, what God has done for us by his grace in Christ Jesus. Because he's coming again. He's promised. He's coming again. And our hope is in him. That everything he did was enough. It satisfied God's holy justice that was offended. And that we are righteous in him and justified in him, declared righteous by his obedience. And even though we sleep and slumber as the foolish, it is God who preserves us in him. He has sanctified us. He has justified us. He has revealed Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are kept. We're protected. We're sealed by his Holy Spirit. He gave us a comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I and my Father will make our abode in you. And he will not utterly let us fall. He will help us. He will succor us. He will raise us up. We are his possession, the apple of his eye. And he will try our faith. We are called on to suffer. We are called on to take up our cross and follow him. Forsake all. Because what do we else do we need? Where else would we go? Where do you turn to when there's no hope left? When God has fixed it to where you can't do nothing, and he shows you can't do anything. Be careful when you say, I've left it all in God's hand, or I've done this and the rest I'm going to leave up to God. Oh, It was always in his hands. Always. I'm not beating you up. I've said that foolish statement before. God ordains all things. He uses his means and his people, and it's all for our good. He tells us that. And it's all for his glory. He will try your faith. That faith that he gives you, it will be tried in fire for perfection. Christ suffered. He's God. But he suffered. And we're supposed to suffer for Christ's sake. And it's for our good and his glory. This is God's work. He's worked in you. Free and sovereign grace in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. Salvation is all of the Lord. Now back in verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Look at there. It's hard to tell the foolish virgins from the wise virgins, isn't it? They all heard that cry. And they all went out to meet him. It says they all went out to meet him. And they all trimmed their lamps. The word of God is powerful. Powerful, any two-edged sword. It's the dynamite of God. The gospel is the God's dynamite. When an explosion goes off, everybody hears it. And the foolish, they know how to put on a good show outwardly. We all do. We know how to hide our faults and our sins, polish ourselves up a little bit on the outside. We read the Bible, we sing the hymns, we profess Jesus. We listen to the preaching. You can fool others. And you can deceive yourself. But God knows the heart. It's his word. And it doesn't go out void. It either is to the saving of the soul or it is the heaping of coals on the head. Because God knows who are his. And you can't fool God. He knows and sees all things, visible and invisible. He created all. And he comforts his elect with the gospel. And there he sits on his throne, ruling and reigning, saving his people. The gospel's being preached. And all are hearing it. But not all have grace, not all have faith, and not all believe. But some think they're fine. And then we see in verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." All heard the cry. And all went out to meet him. And all trimmed their lamps. And the foolish saw something in the wise that they did not possess. Their lamps would burn out. their profession of faith had no grace. It wasn't given by God. It was their own faith. And they said, give us your oil. Look at it. They went to the wives, went to the other virgins. Give us your oil. Give us your grace. They didn't go to God. They didn't say, pray for us. Pray to you, God, for us. They didn't go to the one they professed to know. They professed. They knew who the bridegroom was. But if they'd have known him, wouldn't they have known that grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ? And the wise knew. They knew. They knew where this grace come from, and they know that it's sufficient for who he gives it to. He'll give it to who he will and who he pleases. And it'll be sufficient for you. Won't be too much. It won't be too little. Be just right. And those made wise by God's grace also know that salvation is of God only. By grace alone. By that grace and that truth that comes from Jesus Christ alone. They knew where it come from. God had revealed Christ in them, and they told the foolish. They told them where to go. They told them where to go. Don't maybe not sound like it, but they did. Turn to Isaiah 55, verse 1. Yeah, you go to the ones who sail. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Oh, my. You can't buy free and sovereign grace that's in Christ. It comes from Jesus Christ. And he bought you. He bought it with his own blood. There's no money. You can't buy it. And while, verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Again, notice they did not go to the throne of grace. They asked not for grace, mercy from God, the one who draws you. They did not go to the one who has the power, who sits on his throne and rules and reigns over all flesh and all things. They didn't go to the throne of grace. They didn't bow at his feet. The one who grace and truth was obtained. Salvation was paid in full. They didn't go to Jesus Christ, that bridegroom that they professed to know, the very one that they professed to know. and were going to go trim their lamps to go see. They didn't go to him. They went elsewhere. They didn't know him. And the door was shut. Christ is the door. I have found the ransom. Christ's blood shed paid your ransom. All that the Father gave him. No more. No more. He's coming again. We're to be watching for him. We're to be ready. And these foolish virgins thought they had their lamp, their faith, and their righteousness. And they were comfortable in it. They rested in it. They didn't think anything was out of place. But God tests your faith. He gives you faith in Christ. And it's an enduring faith because it's true faith. And that evidence is Jesus Christ. Him suffering and Him being crucified, Him dying, His blood shed for remission of sins, His sacrifice that pleased God. They didn't know who He was. They didn't know where to get that grace. But the wives were ready and they went in. Look over in Revelations here real quick. Revelation 19 in verse 5. Look here. And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Made his bride ready, didn't he? Says she adorned herself. That's what it says. But what does she adorn herself with? He gave her the knowledge. He gave her those fine linen. He washed her in his own blood and made her as white as snow, pure, chaste virgin. Though she be a whore, we're whores. He makes us chaste virgins. Clothed in His righteousness. Not our filthy rags. He adorned His bride. God adorned His bride for His Son. In Him. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And here in verse 11, afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But He answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. How dreadful. But God is just. God is holy. God is righteous. And God is good, and He only does good. We're all condemned. We're born condemned. If it wasn't for the shedding of His blood, remission for sins, for God choosing us in Him, in electing grace, in Him coming to redeem us and call us, nobody would be saved. God is just and holy in what He does. He simply left them in their darkness, in their unbelief, and gave them no faith. They heard the gospel just the same as the wise, but it wasn't mixed with faith. And God is just to condemn them, just as He's just because the just, the Holy One, the Justifier, as our substitute, made us acceptable to God, took our sins, was made sin for us, and we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. And He died. We died in Him. He's buried, and He rose again for our justification. With His one sacrifice, put away all our sins, that God could look at us and say, "Come, my beloved Son." Because He sees us in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness alone. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. And only by the free and sovereign grace in Jesus Christ, I am what I am. God separates. That new birth, the operating grace of the Holy Spirit, revealing Christ in you. It was done in eternity by God. It was accomplished in Christ Jesus. And then in the appointed time of love, He let you know. He let you know what He has done for you. And in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Christ Jesus is coming again. In all His glory and all His power, to gather all that are His, that together in Him, so we be known as we are known. That faith God give you, be sight. Be sight. And He tells us, watch and be ready. Examine yourselves. Study His word. Pray. Be vigilant. Walk circumspectly. Watching for Him and looking to Him all the time, because we need Him all the time. Pray God, keep your eyes fixed on Him. You believe Him by that faith that He's given you that endures to the end. Worship Him publicly and privately. Read His word.
hear his gospel preached. Pray God make his will your will. Watch for him. I believe, O God, help my unbelief. Look to Christ Jesus by faith that God has given you the gift of. Because he's coming again. Are you ready? Has he made you ready? Are you watching for him? That hope that he has given you in Christ. We don't have to fear this. The foolish do. But they don't even know any better. But we do. Well, Brother Evans also said the ones who worry about apostasy are the are the believers in Christ, aren't they? Because they're the only ones that know the difference. And that's what he does. He gives you that faith and then he tests it. We're called on to suffer. This is not our home. This is not our utopia. Things are not going to be pleasant all the time. God is gracious, and there are wonderful days. We've been a blessed, I've been a blessed generation so far. I haven't had to suffer through blood. But we might. We may be called on. Is that true God-given faith? Is that what you rest in? You rest in Christ Jesus alone and his righteousness? Is your righteousness? Or do you think everything is fine? You'll get the oil when you need it. John 10:27. My sheep, they hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're kept. I and my Father are one, and he has made us one with God in him. And oh, what a marriage it's going to be. Oh, what a wedding is going to take place. He's going to separate the sheep from the goat. We're going to be with him, known as we are known, in him without sin. We don't know that yet, but look at the hope. Look at the hope that we've got. Look what we've got to watch for. Be watching for. Be ready for. That he which hath begun that good work in you, that confidence we have in him, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. O wise virgin, O bride, O church of God, behold your bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, your husband. Are you watching for him? Are you ready? Because he's coming. May God get his glory. May he bless you.